this morning. It is 2 Kings 4. Yes, and I know that was preached last week. So we just figured we'll just do it again. 2 Kings 4, but we're speaking about mothers, so it's great women of the Bible. Great woman of the Bible. In 2 Kings chapter 4, we find two mothers. We find a distraught mother, and if you have the outline, that's the first point. And then second, you have a faithful mother. One lady wrote or asked the question, what is a mother? It takes a mother's love to make a house a home, a place to be remembered no matter where we roam. It takes a mother's patience to bring a child upright, and her courage and her cheerfulness to make a dark day bright. It takes a mother's thoughtfulness to mend the heart's deep hurts, and her skill and her endurance to mend little socks and shirts. It takes a mother's kindness to forgive us when we err, to sympathize in trouble and to bow her head in prayer. It takes a mother's wisdom to recognize our needs and to give us reassurance by her loving words and deeds. Where can there be found words to describe one's mother? What adjectives can portray her patience, her untiring tenderness, her loving care, her amazing self-sacrifice, her intense loyalty? I read a story of a little boy, and the teacher was trying to teach about math, and so he wanted to teach the idea of 1/7, which he was having a hard time. And so he said, so let me give you an illustration. And he said, so let's say you have a pie, and how many pieces would be in the pie if you were going to get a 1/7? And they mistakenly made 6 pieces. All right, and so then the teacher was like, no, that's not going to work, because somebody wouldn't get a piece of the pie. And the young man who was in class said, oh, no, you don't understand my mother. If there was only 6 pieces, she would say, I wasn't hungry. And that's what I think sometimes for those of us that have had good mothers, you've experienced that. Later on, when you're older and you realize what a jerk you were, you're like, you know what? Actually, I think mom was hungry, all right? And I just ate all the food, all right? Yep, you did. What can describe a loving mother? The self-sacrifice, her loyalty. Then there is another story about a little guy, and he was bounding into the living room, and he said, I love my home. I love it so much. And there was a visitor that stepped in to the house while he was talking and asked the little boy, well, why? Why do you love your house so much? For a moment, that lad paused, and then he ran to his mother's side, and he says, I guess it's you, Mom. I guess it's you. I think when we think about moms and we think about mothers, and especially godliness, we go to Scripture and we say, all right, God, what's characteristic or what's traits that can help us in this idea? Good, godly mothers have been a stabilizing factor in America. They have been. This is why I believe the idea of motherhood has been attacked and demeaned. And it's also one of the reasons why in our country has headed downhill. We've belittled it, and what we haven't understood it was a satanic attack. It was a spiritual attack by Satan against this idea. By belittling motherhood, by demeaning the idea of a mom that stays home. Man, I am so glad that I had a mom that was home and that was caring and praying and taking care of needs. That's not a light thing. And think of a nation. All right, look at all kinds of things that have happened. And we talk about education and the lack of education. They were just talking about that. Our head of education was talking this week or last week and just saying how that our education, there's something missing. You know what's missing? An emphasis on the home again. Maybe if we'd get back to say, let's have godly homes, let's forget about materialism and possessions, and that all it is about this life. Maybe get an emphasis on godliness again and on godly motherhood. Maybe we'd be able to see maybe a return back to God. The mother who stays at home and is passionate about the rearing of her children in the biblical ways and in biblical soundness is belittled today. It's said that that's not worth a lot, and it is worth a lot. Childless homes and the sneering at the faithful wife and the mother are popular, but the memories of those of us that can remember is, but the memories of old-fashioned mothers truly bring us back home to simple things. Her home was her realm. She was always there. No children hurrying home to an empty house, left to amuse and abuse themselves as they saw fit. And that's what we find today. Yet throughout the pages of Scripture, you see mothers that were praised for being a guiding light in their home. Let me just mention a few examples before we get to our text in 2 Kings 4. You can go to Genesis chapter 11. You don't have to. I'm just going to mention them. In Genesis chapter 11, you find Sarah, the mother of Isaac, the wife of Abraham, the mother who waited patiently. Genesis chapter 21, you read of Hagar. Hagar, the mother of Ishmael, God came to her in her time of despair and gave her promises and blessings. Hagar, a sorrowing mother. In Exodus chapter 2, you have Jochebed, the mother of Moses. She was so strong in her faith that it moved her to risk everything to save her son. She was a sacrificing mother. And in Ruth chapter 1, 2, and 3, you have Naomi. And a lot of times we preach sometimes, and there are some things to mention as far as cautions about Naomi. But one thing, this is what you can find about Naomi. She was the mother-in-law who led her daughter-in-law to the Savior. Now think about that. Here's Naomi, and maybe there were some bad things and there were some heartaches in her life, but she wanted to go back, and she was able to lead her daughter-in-law back to Israel. And eventually, if you know about Ruth, she was in the line of David, in the line of Christ. Ruth, Naomi, you read about Naomi, and you find here a mother. She was a sorrowing mother, but she was able to lead her daughter-in-law back to the Savior. 1 Samuel chapter 1, you have Hannah, the mother who kept her promise. She had no children, and then Samuel was promised, and then Samuel was given to her. But she wasn't selfish. She was an unselfish mother. And then Luke chapter 1, you have Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. She testified of Christ and of the greatness of her own son. And so in Scripture, you can start in Genesis and you can go through Scripture and you can find examples of good godly mothers. But you also can find in history that mothers have the ability to shape and formulate either a heathen or a good man. We see this in history. I didn't know this, but I looked it up. Nero. Most of us, if you look up Nero, or I would hope, I don't even know if you could find a poster, but I would hope that in your child or in your son's bedroom, there wouldn't be a poster of Nero. Otherwise, you should start thinking about therapy for him, all right? But Nero is not somebody that we look up to. But Nero's mother was a murderess. I did not know that. She gave to this world one of the most cruel men in history. You know why? She was able to shape him. Because she wasn't a godly, she was an ungodly mother. Lord Byron, if you've heard of Lord Byron, he became in England, I think in the House of Commons or in Parliament, he became a spokesman, but he was a wealthy kind of a spoiled brat, if you look up his life. He was a very immoral man, too. But Lord Byron's mother was a proud, intellectual woman, worldly-minded in all her ways, and she gave to this world Lord Byron, a self-centered, morally bankrupt, intellectually proud man. You know, mothers, You have the ability to shape young men and young women in your home. But then you have John and Charles Wesley's mother. She was a praying, painstaking, sensible, pious woman, and she gave to this world a lasting legacy of hymns and rich spiritual writings from her two sons that were devoted to the Lord. Then you have George Washington's mother. She was a plain, sensible woman, and she gave to America a man who we title as the father of our country. There was a story about a distinguished French officer, and he asked George Washington's mother one time how she managed to rear such a splendid son. She turned to this French officer, and this is what she said. She said, "I taught him to obey." The good mother. So which will you be, mother? A godly or a worldly influence in your home? If challenges to you as mothers this morning. And in the Bible, we read of two great women, a distraught mother and a faithful mother. Hopefully from these lessons, we can gain something for our lives. Heavenly Father, I pray that this morning you'd bless, lead and guide. Give us wisdom as we look at 2 Kings 4. I pray that the lessons can help us. Maybe there's some mothers that are distraught, maybe not or lacking a little bit in faithfulness. I pray that these lessons can help them. I pray also that in our society where motherhood is belittled, Lord, it's disdained, I pray that our mothers here would understand how God looks upon them. And Lord, we are blessed here to have a lot of good, godly mothers. And I pray that it would be their desire to push off the influence of the world and continue to, Lord, find God's blessing and God's approval in being faithful, godly mothers. As always, Lord, do that which I cannot do, and that is speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have two thoughts here. The first one is 2 Kings 4, and it talks about the lady in verses 1 through 7. It talks about the distraught mother. And last week, I believe Brother Olson took it, and he dealt with this passage. He dealt with it in a different way. So I'm going to look at it as motherhood. And what are some lessons that we can learn from this distraught mother? Now, notice what it says in verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet, notice, unto Elisha. All right, unto Elisha. So that's our first lesson from a distraught mother. The first lesson, if your hands are full and you don't know what to do, sometimes, and this is what our world says, hey, there's all kinds of options. There's books, and maybe you can get a study group together, and maybe there's a motherhood therapy circle you can get, and you can come to your house and a bunch of mothers, and you can come and crab and complain, and you can help each other by all crabbing about how bad your kids are. But it says here in 2 Kings 4 and verse 1, the lesson, first of all, is go to God for your needs. Elisha is a representation of the prophet of God. We don't have prophets today. I know some people claim that, but there is no prophets today. There are preachers today, but there is not a prophet. And so in essence, this woman, what she was doing is going to God. And if you're distraught and you have a need here this morning as a mother, please go to God first. I would ask you, and if you're unsaved, you have to go to God first to be saved. You have to go to God first to be saved. You need to understand that without God, you will never be a good mother. Without God and His salvation, you will never understand truly what it means to be a good mother. And so please go to God in salvation if you do not know God, but go to God for your needs. Secondly, notice what she did. Thy servant, my husband, and dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons. Look at what in verse 2. Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me. And so he asked, and she complies and says, I have a pot of oil. Then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy vessels, neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. All right, look at verse 5. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. What do you see there? You see her saying, you know what? That is really dumb. I got oil. That's it. And I got one pot. And that's now I'm supposed to borrow a bunch, and you just think that all of a sudden, miraculously, this is going to... You don't see any of that in the text. What you see is a distraught mother going to God to meet her needs and then following the Lord's commands. And this is what you'll find. You're going to find all kinds of reasoning why you should not follow God's instruction on how to rear your children. You're going to find, and there is going to be a litany, there's going to be a boatload of things that are going to tell you, people, internet. I mean, I'm telling you, through the last 8 weeks, I despise the internet. I despise social media. All right, I am more against it than ever. You know why? Because even, and it could be some of you sitting in here, the social media teaches that everybody is equal, and that is baloney. That is baloney. And you're a young person sitting here, and you're on social media, and you think you're equal with your parents? No, you're not. And I have Bible to back me up. What do you got to back you up? You got Zuckerberg? All right? He thinks everything is equal. I don't care what he thinks. I don't care what he says. The Bible is my mainstay. The Bible is what I go to. And that is what I rely on. And I don't care what the world says about rearing children. I don't care what the experts say. I go to God, and I go to His Word. And that's what I ask you to do as mothers. Go to God and rely on Him. Why? Because follow His commands. And trust Him. Don't sit there and argue with God and say, well, I just think that it's different in today's day and age. Well, how's it going in today's day and age? How's it going? What's it like in this world? All right, think about the nuttiness of our world. Here is Pennsylvania. And this is why some of the nuttiness that I'm sick of. In Pennsylvania, the person that heads up the health of Pennsylvania is a transgender. And they're going to tell me what's healthy and wise for my family. Baloney. You're a disgrace. You're an abomination to God. That's what you are. God's judgment is upon you in your life. And you're going to hand down and tell me how to live clean and holy, and or clean and pure. Even physically, you don't even know about it. And that's the nuttiness of our society. And that's what I'm telling you as a pastor, as somebody that preaches the Word of God. Please restrain from listening to this world. This world will produce rebellion. It will produce vulgarity. It will produce immorality. It will produce impurity in your children if you follow their guidelines. Oh, but if you stay true to God's Word, and you stay focused on what God commands you to do. Oh, you may be mocked by this world, but your children will rise up and call you blessed. Your children will come and they'll say, thanks. Thank you, Mom, for staying true to His Word. Why? Because the Word of God, when He commands you, and you know what you got to do as a mom? Maybe set some extra time. Hey, we can help you. We can help you. We can help you know some different things as far as studies in the Word of God. But some of it, Mom, you got to get in this book. You got to get in it. It's not gonna work in your house if on Sunday is the only time that this book is open. It's not gonna help you. Oh, man, The Word of God has got to become a joy to you. It's got to be a textbook, a study guide, an instruction manual so that you can have some godly children. You know what you see from this lady? She's distraught. She doesn't know what to do. They're coming. They're going to take her kids. Sounds like somebody else, doesn't it? A creditor. You know, there's a creditor that's going to come and want your kids, and that's the devil. He's going to come and say, you know what, you owe me. What are we supposed to do? Distraught. Come and take your kids. Go to God. Follow the Lord's command. And then notice what she did in verse 5. She went from him, shut the door upon her, and upon her sons. Now that doesn't mean, all right, as you're reading it, it doesn't mean she slammed the door on her kid's face. All right, because I'm like, ah! All right. No, it doesn't mean that. All right, she didn't be like, you know what? Boom, stay out. Right. No, she brought them in, and then she brought the vessels. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. So they're inside. They're inside with her. So guess what else you can do as a mom? Go to God for your needs. Follow the Lord's command. Lead your children in following God. Don't keep them out. Involve them in a relationship with the Lord. Involve them in a relationship with the Lord. Make sure to include them. Talk about the Lord. Talk about his leading and guiding. You'll never regret it. So that's lessons from a distraught mother. Secondly, then, we have lessons from a faithful mother. We find that in verse 8. It fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. Now, this one, I had fun thinking about this. So what does a great woman mean? Does it mean like, great woman? All right. I was like, whoa, man, there's a whole lot. Shade in the summer. And where was a great woman? All right, so what does that mean, a great woman? And I used it as my title. It's lessons or great woman in the Bible. But that idea, most believe that the idea of a great woman meant that her husband was somebody of means. All right, so she was well taken care of. So it's interesting that here is Elisha, and on one end you have a mom that was really poor. I mean, she didn't have any food. And then you have another woman, and she has, guess what? A lot of possessions. Okay, both of them are tied to Elisha, and this is instructive, and this is a freebie, but both of them, rich or poor, guess what you need to do? Come to the Lord. That's where you start. Both start with God. And again, I stress, if you're here and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, both rich or poor need to come to God. That's what you need to do. But you'll notice that there are lessons, because here's a faithful mother. Notice what she does. Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. She constrained him to eat bread, and so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set up for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. So we're going to look at a couple of ideas with the Shunammite woman. Lessons from a faithful mother. First of all, I think if you're going to be a good, godly mother, you're going to make space for God in your house. You notice what she did? She made space. And he was coming by so often and coming by their house. Guess what that says? That she wanted him in her house. Want God in your house. Don't have a worldly house. Make space for God in your house. Notice her perception in this. It says, as oft as he passed by. She was out there noticing this. She was noticing this. She was sensitive to others. And notice what she says in verse 9. Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God. Mothers, guess what you can do? You can be in touch with God and you can know holiness. She perceived that this was a holy man of God. And guess what? She was right. You can perceive and you can understand things from God and you can pass them down to your children. But it'll only happen if you're making space for God in your house. Are you making space for God in your house? Do your children see you as somebody that studies the Word of God, that prays, that is intense in that area of godliness? You should be. Make space for God in your house. So you see her perception as oft as he passed by. And then you see her persistence. Notice what it says. And she constrained him to eat bread. It actually makes me think of my grandmother. Oh, man, some of you probably the same way. Would just come in. And I was thinking of Thanksgiving or Christmas time. And man, my grandma, it was just, I mean, there was just so much food there. Just so much food. And it was always like, oh, Sonny, oh, you're so skinny. Oh, you need to eat some more. And I'm like, oh, and she was just constraining me to eat. All right, constraining. Just putting it on. Like, oh, all right. But this is what this lady, that idea of constraint, she wasn't going to take no for an answer. She kept at the duty. And you also notice that she was concerned about the details. You notice what it says in verse 10? Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for them a bed, a table, a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. So guess what this faithful mother is doing? It's a purposeful faithfulness. And this is what my challenge to mothers here today is: be purposeful in your faithfulness to God. Be purposeful about it. Make space for God in your house and perceive. Here's this man of God coming out, and she's looking, she's studying and saying, wait a minute, that man of God, I want him here. Do you want God in your house, moms? To go and fetch him and constrain God and say, God, I need you in my house. I've got to have you. And you know what? I love this about Elisha. Finally, he's like, you know what? I guess I'm eating. I'm staying here. And I believe God's kind of the same way. Man, you grab a hold of God and say, God, I've got to have you. I've got to have you in my house. I've got to have you for my kids. I've got to have you here. Constrain God to come into your house. Don't let him go. Be persistent on it. That's why I look at her as a faithful mother. So, lessons from a faithful mother. Number one, make space for God in your house. Secondly, service to God is its own reward. Why do I say that? Look at verse 11. Fell on a day that he came hither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto her, look at what it says. Say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king, to the captain of the host? Look at. And she answered, I dwell among my own people. You know what she said? I think of, I think it's Sean. Every time I see him, it's his phrase. Come up like, hey, Sean, what's going on? It's all good. That's right here. It's all good. You know what she's saying? I'm fine. I don't have to get anything. You don't have to pay me for this. And what you'll find is bringing God into your house and being a godly mother, it's its own reward. You know what you're going to find in this world, and you see it. You see people, and maybe you've met them. They put all of their energy and all of their stocks and bonds. They put everything into being that successful woman. And maybe they've made it to some level, and man, the kids don't really care. Kids do their own thing. You know what they're still doing? They're still searching, aren't they? But you know what you'll find in motherhood? If you follow God's pattern, it's its own reward. There's just a peace, there's a joy that you have in doing what God wanted you to do. It's its own reward. Service to God is that way. And so, you know what? It teaches you to find opportunities to serve God in your house. Use your means to serve God and provide for others. Did you notice that in here? All right, so she was a great woman. All right, so what does that mean? She had some means. So what she did is she took some of that and apportioned it to serving God and to further the cause of Christ. So I ask you, as mothers, is all of your life wrapped up in you? And some of you, maybe that is. So when's the last time? And I'm telling you, I despise social media. You know why? Some of you, and if I'm stepping on your toes, you can know this. I have not looked at your thing. But I would challenge you, go home. Go home and look back over your pictures. And do a little percentage. How many is you? 50%? 30%? 75%? Like everybody wants to know about me. Go ahead and say it. Come on, say it. Yeah, throw it out there. Yeah. And guess what? Some of you, you're like, oh, did you see how many followers I have? I don't. Actually, the last I checked, according to the Bible, I shouldn't have followers. I should be following Christ. You can follow me as I follow Christ. All right, but really, do you see how our society, and you bought into it, because you think everybody cares about your Big Mac that you're eating. All right, all of us know it's nasty. All right, we all know it's nasty. All right, we all know that you're going to die of that. All right, and nobody cares about the fries. But guess what? And then we use social media some. But let me ask you this, Mom. When's the last time you posted a verse? When's the last time you used social media to reach out and be a testimony? That's what we do. That's why I told our guys, let's pray about it. And that's why we have a social media account on our church. You know why? Because it's going to, and you see that every once in a while. We put verses on there. We cast out sermons. You know why? Because it's going to be used for God's glory. That's it. It's not about me. It's not about my personality. It's not about, oh, look what we did. It's not about that. It's about God. It's about Christ. It's about lifting Him up. And how much do we work at lifting ourselves up and lifting our lives? And mother, maybe it's you, and all you're concerned about is you and your little darling, and that's it. What about God? What about that son or daughter? What are you teaching them? What are they seeing of your service to the Lord? Because you can even make that child an idol. And you've replaced the glory and the worship of God, the worship of a little kid. Be careful. What's a lesson from a faithful mother? She used her means. So she had great wealth. She used it because she saw a need, because she was not looking just at herself. She was looking out and she saw, hey, this prophet, this man of God passes by here. I'm going to use some of these resources God has given me to take care of this man and further the cause of God. So you see, service to God, it's its own rewards, and use your means to serve God and provide for others. And you notice, God gave her an answer to prayer. She was childless. And you see that, guess what you can do in verses 18 and later, she was given a son, and then the son passed away. So guess what our last point there in lessons from a faithful mother. So she made space for God in her house. She's service to God is its own reward, but then she trusted God with her children. Did you notice that the son got sick? It says in verse 18, and when the child was grown, it fell in a day that he went out to his father to the reapers, and he said unto the father, my head, they carried him up, verse 19, verse 20. When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon. And then died. So she laid him on the bed. That's verse 21. But notice where she takes him. She takes him to the prophet's chamber where the man of God was going to be. And she called unto her husband. And notice what she says in verse 22. I'm going to go run to the man of God. You can trust God with your children. There are those that are going to say, hey, it's not going to work. And it could be that some of you sitting here, you've come up with it. I've talked with some. I've tried to help you out in your mentality. And maybe you're a young person here, and you have a whole track. You have people that have grown up here, and you have a whole track of people that hate God. I'm glad that you're so negative. I love that about you, that you're so negative, that you just love to deal in the negativity world. But this is what I know. I don't care what you say. I don't care what your stats are. You can trust God with your children. You can. You can trust God with your children. Because the alternative is to trust you or to trust the devil. And this is what I can tell you. You have 100% chance of them becoming a loser when you give them to the devil. 100% chance. 100%. It's guaranteed. Big oil right there. But you can trust God with your children. You know, when it seems that life is almost gone, run to God. When you're in desperate straits, run to God. You can trust God with your children. So we see a faithful mom. She is mentioned one more time, a couple chapters later, 2 Kings chapter 8. Look at 2 Kings chapter 8. Here's the last time we see the Shunammite woman. It seems as though at this stage of her life, she's a widow. And it may be that her means somehow, because of captivity, different things like that, it seems as though her means were taken away. So look at the story. Then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, arise and go, thou and thine household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn, for the Lord hath called for a famine, and shall come upon the land 7 years. So here's a famine, so God takes care of her. The woman arose, did after the saying of the man of God. She went with her household, sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. Came to pass at the 7 years' end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines. She went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. So her land's gone now, basically. It's taken away. All right, either some other people have moved in there, or somehow it was taken away. Maybe the Philistines destroyed it. Look at verse 4. And the king talked with Gehazi. It just so happened that when the woman was coming in to speak with the king, that Elisha's servant just happened to be talking with the king. Don't you love that just happens? And so so the king's like, tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha hath done. He's like, you know what, let's just shoot the breeze a little bit. You know that Elisha guy, why don't you just tell me some stories? So it came to pass as he was telling the king how he restored a dead body to life. So it just so happened that Gehazi is telling the story about a lady that had a kid and he died and he was raised to life by Elisha. It just so happened. And look what it says. And Gehazi said, my Lord, O king, this is the woman and this is her son. So her and her son walk in during the story time. And here is the dead man living. All right, you don't have to have some Netflix series or whatever here, this is for real. Dead man walking. All right. So here it is. This is the woman, and this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, restore all that was hers. All of it. And all the fruits of the field, since the day that she left the land, even until now. You know what? Let it never be said that God did not take care of his servants and his children. God always does. We sing the song, God can take care of you. He can take care of you. You can trust him. And mothers, in this day and age, when it seems like it seems like every fight of this world, every ounce of its strength is going against you trusting in this good book. I challenge you, please make this first. Make this preeminent in your home. You have that option. Maybe this morning that you're a mother that has never put God first. You've never trusted Him. You don't believe in the Lord. You've come in, maybe as a friend, someone came and asked you to be here. You do not know God personally. He's willing to be your Savior. Have you trusted Him for eternity? And by eternity, I mean when you die. Have you placed your life in God's hands? It's a personal decision, and you need to do that. Second, mother, have you been faithful to the Lord in your home? Have you taken the opportunities that have been given you to meet the needs of others? Have you been using the resources that God has given you to further the work of God? Are all of your thoughts for this life and this life only and not for eternity? There's a young lady of 20 years old, and this was many, many years ago. She was a child of rich parents. She was trained by her mother in all the arts of fashionable life. The daughter was happy amid the flatteries of her admirers, and the mother's pride was so filled up, she was so satisfied. But in her younger years, sickness came to this young lady. They called for the minister, because that's what good fashionable people do. And the minister, being a good old-fashioned Bible believer, told this young lady of death and of judgment and of eternity. And the young lady there, about ready to face death, trembled. In her dying hour, she called her mom and asked for her fine clothes. They were brought. Then she looked to her mother and she said, "These have ruined me. You never told me that I must die. You taught me that my life was this world, and I was supposed to be happy in this world and enjoy every vanity of life. What a waste. I must die now and go to judgment, and you never told me to read the Bible. You never told me there was an eternity." And she passed off into eternity. Mother, it's your choice. It's your choice to introduce into your house and lift up this word. Teach them. I beg you to teach them. This world is not all there is. There is an eternity, and we will all face it. So make sure that as a mother, you bring your children to God. Heads bowed, eyes closed.